All right, go ahead, talk. Say, you're listening to the Word Bros Podcast.
No.
Do it.
No.
Do it. Say, you're listening to the Word Bros Podcast. Do it. You're listening to the Word Bros Podcast. TheWordBros.com. Hello and welcome to a brand new edition of Word Bros. My name is Bob.
I'm Kevin.
Bienvenidos, amigos.
Oh, wow.
That's Kevin.
International.
Man, you know, I mean, people download the show from all over the world.
Worldwide. You
know, we worldwide, baby. That's how we do. We like Pitbull. Ooh, Mr. Worldwide. Mr. 305. That's us, Jack. We do it. I mean, with the internet and with podcasting and all this stuff, you can be indeed worldwide.
Well, I'm pretty sure we are available worldwide, but do we have that kind of, are we like the IHOP of podcasts?
I can look at some stats if you want.
Oh, can you?
Yeah, look at you. And get some stats.
Let's bring us some stats and facts, if you will.
Get some stats.
It's Bobby the Brain France over there.
That's well, I mean, you know, you have to remember there was a time where I wanted to try to do this podcasting thing for a living. So you can get.
It can still happen.
I'm not really worried about it at this point. Like, it's nothing that I really strive to do at this point in my life. I mean, I'd rather write comics. That's what I want to do.
Me too.
Podcasting is fun. I enjoy it. Obviously, I do fucking four podcasts. This being the fourth one. I mean, it's fun, man. I dig it. I like doing it. Let's see here. Podcast statistics. Geography. World. Okay. We have, surprisingly, most of our downloads had come from the United States of America, of course.
Okay.
Next on the list is Japan.
Wow.
With 443 total downloads in Japan. So, konnichiwa.
Konnichiwa. Thank you for downloading WordPress, Japanese guys.
Japanese guys. And then Germany is next with 67.
Oh, well, danke.
Danke schön,
darling. Danke schön.
You used to sing. You sing it.
I mean, I'm not that good at singing.
Thank you for all of the joy and pain. let's see. Then we have the United Kingdom. So that's hello. 9 people in the United Kingdom have downloaded Word Bros.
Thank you for listening to Word Bros with a spot of tea.
You know what we need to do? We need to have Ben McCool on so we can get those UK numbers up. So
Ben McCool's a good dude. I like that guy.
I'll talk to Ben and see if we can get him on. You know what? I'm going to send him a message now. Maybe we can get him on sometime in November.
Sounds great.
Yeah.
What's after that?
Next is Netherlands with 8, Canada with 2, France with 2, Gibraltar coming strong with 2, Sweden and other. So that's it. So yeah, so we are officially worldwide.
No one in Sweden listens to Word Bros.
No, we have 2 Swedish listeners.
Oh, we have 2. To my Swedish listeners, like, you guys have the best metal.
Yes.
The best metal.
And Swiss Miss hot chocolate's pretty good.
I mean, also Sweden has like crepes that are incredible. The Swedish crepes at IHOP.
Really? At IHOP.
Of course, I'm gonna Americanize it because I'm
classing it up, Kev. I do.
I know. I'm a classy dude in my t-shirts that make me look like I'm 12.
Yep. I mean,
I dress like a high school freshman.
I've been trying to. You know what? I'm actually. It's funny that you should mention that. I'm trying to go through my t-shirts and get rid of some t-shirts and try to up my t-shirt game because I realize I have one t-shirt that I've had for about. Actually, I have a couple of them, but one of my favorite t-shirts was a baseball t-shirt. It was a John Franco shirt. And it was John Franco was a pitcher for the New York Metropolitans, and his father was a custodial worker for the city of New York. So during the World Series run in 2000, the fans in New York made an orange t-shirt that said Franco on the back and had the New York custodial engineer, I guess, kind of logo on the front of it. I've had that shirt for like 15 years. It's finally starting to wear in the armpits, which I would say 15 years is pretty good.
That's a good shelf life for a shirt. Well, yes. I mean, you wore it and you wore it regularly.
So. Yeah, I wore it constantly, but I put that shirt in with the sleepy shirt. So that shirt has become
sleepy. You're going to retire it. It's retired.
Yeah, it's retired. I have another t-shirt, a Murder City Devil shirt, which is a band out of Seattle. They were on Sub Pop forever. I've had that shirt since at least, because I remember wearing that shirt in college. So I've had that shirt since I was at VCU in like 2000.
I have two shirts. One of them is a Pixie shirt from the 90s when I was still in high school and went to see the Pixies and U2.
That's awesome. That must have been a hell of a show.
The Pixies were great, but they played with like the lights on. Like they didn't have like the, like, it was like the whole auditorium was still lit up everywhere, so you could see everything. They didn't have any stage lights, so it was really weird. And we had really good seats, so I was happy to be there because I was mostly going to see the Pixies because Octoon Baby is not a bad album.
Octoon Baby is a great record. If you have anything negative to say about that record, I will kick you off of this podcast.
I'm saying it's not a bad album, but
I will mute you.
It's not the U2 I wanted at the time.
What U2 were you looking for?
I was looking for more Joshua Tree U2.
And I guess I love Octoon Baby. If you were gonna say like, I guess maybe
I don't hate it. I mean, like they opened up with The Fly and it was great. Like,
yeah,
but they were all flashing. It's really weird to see the Pixies, which is like a toned down sort of garage band feel to the Pixies, and then you see U2, which is the exact opposite.
What year was this?
92, I want to say.
You have a t-shirt from 1992?
I do.
Kevin, that shirt's like 60 years old.
I do. I have a t-shirt from 1992.
Wow, that's impressive.
I was in high school. Yeah.
Wow. I had a long-running shirt like that. I had a Beastie Boys shirt, a Check Your Head Beastie Boys shirt.
I have one of those as well.
That I got in the 10th grade that finally kind of blew out.
Mine is so the print is so jacked up you can't even tell what's on it anymore. Yeah. You could just see Beastie Boys barely, and it's blue.
Yeah,
Beastie Boys in blue. And I bought the same shirt from Target again because my other one wore out. I saw it at Target. I was like, I have that shirt. I'm gonna get another one.
Yeah, it's a legacy shirt. I think it's okay then if you're getting the legacy shirt. But yeah, I'm trying to up my t-shirt game, so I got to try to find better places to get t-shirts. But my cheap nature won't allow me to spend like $30 on a t-shirt because I think it's ridiculous. Unless it has a
size. I spend about 20 on the t-shirts I have that you make fun of, the ones that you make fun of. 20 is about average, and that's with shipping and everything.
Okay, that's the ones you'd be buying online?
Yeah. So, like, most of them I'll buy online, but if you go to a con and they have a t-shirt person there and they're not $20 automatically, then I'll take a look at what they got. But this one, I believe it was Lexington Toy and Comic Con that Drew and I went to. This one,
I was there, dummy.
Oh yeah, you were there. That one too. I forgot.
It's 50 minutes away from my house. Of course, I was there.
That was pretty awesome. I do remember that because we were eating all dressed chips in the
room. That's when all dressed chips came into my life, and it was
one of the most flavor dust aged
all dressed. You have no idea, Kevin, how much of a struggle it is for me not to buy all dressed chips every time I go to the grocery store, because I do the grocery shopping in our house. Being a stay at home parent, I do all the grocery shopping. My wife goes to the grocery store and she gets lost and she spends hundreds of dollars on food that no one's ever going to eat. I go every week and I go by myself, and it's so hard because I have no little devil.
Get in for your D&D night.
I have no little, see, I, you know what? I have done that in the past. And I find myself eating the entire bag of.
Oh, chips. Really? So you pull a Robert Kofel. That's
and, then my, and then my stomach hurts. And
yeah, see, I don't eat the entire bag. Like, they're delicious, but I'll eat like a few of them. They're probably like, I'm not a potato chip person. So Word Bros listeners, heed us wisely. If you want to make friends with the Word Bros, you bring Wawa Gobblers. Because both of us love the Wawa Gobbler, or all dressed chips, and you've made a friend for life.
I don't think anyone's trying to curry our favor that much. I gotta get these dudes to like me.
No one will ever do that. I'm just saying, if that's in your life agenda, which is not likely, than if you
at least you're being honest with yourself.
Yeah, I am. I'm just like, it's not likely. But if you brought all dressed chips, I'm pretty sure like we would hug in celebration.
Well, there's a good chance if you come over to our table, if we're ever at a show that you're at, if we're ever in Japan doing a comic
con, that would be great.
One of the 47 listeners in Japan come over. We will talk to you anyway because we're nice people. And
oh yeah, and I'm not saying we won't talk to you if you're wrong. We'll talk either way.
And when you know you interact with us on any kind of level, there is a respect given and respect received.
Like that's a promo?
That's how I like to live my life. That's how I like to live my existence. If someone is going to be kind to me, I am going to be kind in return, because that's how it should be. Even, you know what, even if you're not going to be kind to me, I'm still going to be kind to you, because that's the kind of person I am. I try to radiate positivity and I try to be a positive force in this world of darkness and terribleness sometimes.
Are you lying?
I try my best,
no,
man.
No, you're great.
I try to be a positive person. It's hard sometimes, believe me.
No, it can be. There's a lot of people. And maybe this is something that we should address. There's a lot of negativity on the internet. So like the internet can bring you down in a matter of seconds. So
dude.
There's times when I look on Facebook and I see some stuff and I just go, nope, and I get off. I go, I'm not doing that today, because like I will fall into that trap.
I'm not in the mood for Twitter today.
I mean, Twitter doesn't bother. Here's the weird thing about Twitter. Twitter never bothers me because I don't see a ton of other people's stuff. Mm-hmm. I see like the stuff that ends up in my feed on Twitter, somehow it's filtered to where I don't get a lot of like, I get a lot of really cool positive stuff on Twitter. Facebook is like bad, because when somebody says something negative, somehow it shows up in my feed and I see it and then I go, oh, that's terrible.
Yeah.
I feel really bad. Oh. And like, that's what I don't like about Facebook. Somehow the algorithm set up to bring you down. Like intrinsically set up to make you sad. It's
soul sucking and terrible. It makes your life feel awful and miserable.
Other times it can be great though. So there's sometimes where the algorithm's like, hey, today you deserve a good day for those 6 bad days I gave you.
Hey man, that's cool.
But Twitter, like every time I get on Twitter, it's something cool. Like it's like, oh, that's really cool. Like that's really cool art. Like comic book art, I will say this about comic book art, and people can undersell it all they want, but seeing people do really cool stuff, you know, and it doesn't have to be quote unquote your project. It's just like, oh, that's a really great pick. Like Louis LaRosa posted an awesome picture that from something he was doing with Valiant. And I was like, dude, that's just great. Yeah. I just want to look at that piece of art for a while.
That's why I love Inktober is one of my favorite times of the year, because artists just post, you know, pencil and ink drawings all over Twitter. And it's such a fun way just to discover new artwork and new artists and new people and new styles. There are two in particular that I've been following a lot. Let me see if I can pull them up. One of them is a British dude. And I even asked him, I was like, hey man, do you do sequentials? And he was like, yep. And I was like, well, we got to pitch this dude. I was like, I've been really digging his stuff. Here, let me find these guys.
Why you do that? Oh no, you found him?
I will in a second, because I just went on Twitter and then I'm just looking at all my conversations. One of them is a guy named Lee Stevenson. At Lee Steve Zero. His work is just killer. And I was like, dude, I got to pitch this. I got to talk to this guy to see if he's taken. It's just such a fun and playful style. He did that orc that I sent you the other day.
Oh yeah, that was really cool.
Because I told him in the comments, I was like, dude, this thing is like, it's vicious but playful all at the same time, and it just looks really fun. And I was like, dude, what's up? Like, I want to work with this dude. I really dig his stuff. And there's another guy who has just been posting, he's been posting more specific stuff, and he's just posting Star Trek spaceships.
Oh, that's crazy.
All he's been drawing are spaceships, and it's been really amazing. So I've been following that guy a lot too. I'm trying to see if I can find him on my favorites, because I've just been favoring all of his stuff. But man, it's just, I love Twitter just for that. Here we go. Let me see if I can find it. Likes. Here we go. But yeah, it's my favorite time of the year. I love Inktober. It's amazing.
Also the two guys whose Inktober stuff that I've been looking at, well, one guy I just been looking at his art, I don't know if it's Inktober stuff or not, would be Eli Powell, who I showed you his stuff, and mm-hmm. his stuff's killer. Matt Harding, who was actually the editor for The Iron Skull, is also an artist, and he's been posting horror movie things. He did a Chucky.
Oh, that's cool.
He did what's the girl's name in The Ring? Sahara?
I've never seen it.
She's got a weird name in The Ring. The girl from The Ring coming out of like a chimney. Mm. She's doing the like thing with the hair. And I was like, oh, that's really cool too. Like, so he's just been doing horror movie stuff. And then he did a Jason.
Oh, so, that's cool.
Like, yeah, they were all really good too. So that guy, Matt, is a nice guy. And he's also a really talented artist. So I would say, I think he's at Stilt Sync.
Okay.
STILLSYNC. I think that's the right one. Or it might be S-I-N-C.
Okay.
That's Matt Harding at Stilt Sync.
Yeah, Matt Harding. I like that guy. I'd be following him too. Another dude that I like, the other guy who's doing all the starships, is Andy W. Clift. CLIFT. His Twitter is Andy W. Clift. I like when people have simple Twitters like that.
It helps.
He's just been posting like different like versions of the Star Trek ships and like all these like just pencil and ink drawings of Star Trek stuff. And
speaking of Star Trek,
dude, I can't get enough of it.
You've been watching Star Trek. What's the new one called?
Discovery. Yeah.
Is it great?
I've seen 4 of the 5 episodes and I've really enjoyed it. It's dark. It's a little darker
than normal.
Yeah, but it's good. I like it.
I'm gonna wait for the DVD to come out and come to the library because the cool thing, it sounds bad, but whenever
dude,
I'm a library king, dude. Yeah. I will go to the library and like get stuff in a heartbeat. I have no qualms about even, and I'm gonna apologize to some of my favorite creators. Even some of my favorite creators, I test your books. It's like a test drive. I'll test drive your comics at the library first.
Oh, and dude, then, yeah, totally. And then,
you see, I mean, and I'll test drive it there in graphic novel format, and then I'll go, this is something I want, so then I go buy it. But
well, they make money from the libraries, like they. The library, like getting in the library is a solid thing, because if the book's in the library, if you get on the library list, then that's copies bought, and then if they're checked out a lot, they'll buy more copies. If the copies get beat up, they'll buy more copies because you're already there. So being on the library list is pretty dope. So that's
if you're a creator and you want me to beat your book up, so the library, that's gonna be my new service. I'll beat your book up, so
the library. Beat it up. But yeah, that's how I got into Baltimore. The Plague Ship. I got the first Baltimore trade at the library, and I was like, this is fucking great.
Yeah, and, I love that one.
Yeah. So then I bought the second and third one, so I really liked it, and I read the book. I loved the novel. The novel was awesome.
I gotta read the novel. I know they have it at the library because I asked them for it, but it's always checked out.
Yeah, it's good, baby. It's good. I got this at the library. I got the D&D 5th edition Player's Handbook at the library,
which is crazy because I see it. Yeah. They don't have that at our library. Well, they don't have a RPG section at our library, but it's smaller.
From what I understand, the reason why they have it is because they do a 5th edition night at this branch in
Kentucky. Oh, that's really cool.
Yeah, because I live in Cincinnati, but I go to this branch in Kentucky, the Erlanger branch of the Kitten County Library. It's a really great branch. When we first moved here, I used to go there all the time because they had really good like story times for the kids and stuff. And so I still go there because they still do have really great story times for the kids. And they used to have a writer's group that I would go to every now and then, but now they have a 5th edition group and they need I guess they have room for one more player. So I'm thinking about maybe going next Wednesday.
Yeah, do that, man.
Yeah, I think I'm going to make a monk.
That's an interesting choice.
I like monks.
I enjoy that character class too, and it went away for a while because they said it wasn't European enough, which was crazy because this is I'm talking about 90s second edition D&D. They took the monk out for a hot
minute. Yeah.
And they put the monk in. What they did was they took the monk out of there and put him in the Oriental Adventures book.
Yeah, with the samurai.
Just a racist title for
they never brought the samurai back, which sucks.
Well, the samurai is basically a paladin, so they did reinstitute it in 3.5. When I was playing 3.5, it was one of the prestige classes you could get, as well as a kensai.
Yeah. Which
is also in the Oriental Adventures book. Because everybody wanted to play a ninja, but then ninja was like a it was really funny because I remember this time in I was actually a freshman in high school. And everybody wanted to play a ninja in Oriental Adventures. Like, I want to be part ninja. It was like, ninjas were the thing. you remember that time in, like, 89, 90? Yes.
That sounds about right, yeah.
So it was like, everybody's like, I want to play a ninja. So it was like, we played an Oriental Adventures game where everybody was something and a ninja. So it's like, And one samurai, the one guy that played a samurai, I was like, oh, I feel bad for you. You were a whole party full of like sneaky fucks. So
well, that's when I was talking to the dude who runs the game in at the library. I was like, yeah, you know, I know this may be a weird question, but like, what are the groups lacking? Like, what are the groups made up of? And he's like, well, I can't speak for the other groups because I guess they have three games going on.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So he said, our group, he said, my group that I'm in, we have three barbarians. It was like, that's a lot of goddamn barbarians.
A lot of Conan readers there, baby.
Three barbarians. That's nuts. He said they have three barbarians and then like a fighter and a paladin. And I was like, wow, you guys are
you guys know fighting everything.
You guys know what you're doing, huh? And so I don't know. I was thinking about playing a monk because I can't really see a lot of people playing a monk.
And it's still a fighter class, so you'll get in on some of that.
Yeah, and like there's a
lot. Yeah. And I
just love the idea of doing like hand-to-hand combat. Like no weapons, dude, just these things right here.
I'm getting nunchucks, bro.
Yeah, I was thinking about that. They didn't have them in the book. I didn't see them.
They're in there.
Okay, I'll have to look. But I was thinking about, no, man, I just want to use my fists and then maybe do like more of a grappling style monk who's like more of a...
Like a judo monk?
Yeah, like a street fighter.
You're
like
you're gonna make him like a pacifist, like he doesn't want to hurt nobody, so he doesn't.
No, he wants to hurt people. Like I was thinking more like, what's the guy's name in Bloodsport? The bad guy.
Oh yeah, I know what you're talking about the dude.
That guy with the weird
dude.
Eye.
The big dude.
What's his name? It's right on the tip of my tongue. I it's weird because I don't know why, but I bring him up more than I probably should for no reason.
He's a big dude.
He's awesome. Like, he's a great actor. What the hell is his name? Bloodsport.
The bad guy in Bloodsport.
I already Googled it. Here I am right here. His name is... That's not him. Bolo Young.
He was in a couple movies.
He's in everything. He's in Enter the Dragon. He's in Bloodsport. He's in Double Impact. He's in everything.
I didn't know he was in Enter the Dragon.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, dude, he's huge over there. I love that guy, Bolo. That's right, Bolo. I love Bolo. For a while, he was my Facebook profile
picture. I remember that.
Bolo. Yes, I want to make more of a dude. Like, because Bolo is a badass martial artist, too, but he's also kind of like...
He's really buff.
Yeah, he's huge. Bolo with his big pectoral muscles. Bolo Young. But yeah, so I'm thinking about...
You know, Lex Luger on people, you're like...
So I'm thinking about going over to the library and checking that out. As you notice, we don't have a guest this week, so Kevin and I are just kind of chit-chatting.
We're chit-chatting about various things. Like, we just started – but, yeah, like, so the library – like, I'll probably get that Star Trek Discovery. So I was going to say, in watching of shows, I started watching one that was on Netflix that I think that most people wouldn't – well, I enjoy it because it's about a boxer, but that's just me. It's called Lights Out. Have you seen that?
No.
It's really cool, actually. I'm surprised it didn't have more than one season, because it's got Stacey Keach is in it.
Ah,
Stacey Keach plays his dad.
Okay.
And his dad is his like corner guy. Stacey Keach is his corner guy, and the main actor in there has been in a bunch of things, but nothing huge. He's got a strange name.
Is it Bolo Young?
No, it's not.
It's not Bolo.
Lights Out, main actor. My phone is charging, otherwise I'd just look it up. But I can't remember his name.
Yeah, I'll look it up.
I've seen him before. His mom is a famous actress.
His mom's?
His mom's is a famous actress, and she was married to somebody famous.
Cuba Gooding. It's Cuba Gooding Jr.
No, it's not. No, it's not him.
Lights. But,
I mean, I would much rather watch Cuba Gooding Jr. box than be in more Disney movies. So that's
Lights. Oh, he was great that OJ show. Don't sleep on that. Lights Out. No, that looks like a horror movie.
No, it's Lights Out is a horror movie. Lights Out show. You have to write it show in there.
Okay. I'm on IMDb. I'm not seeing it. Lights Out. This ain't happening for me.
You just search it on Google, Lights Out show.
I know. I mean, I know what Google is, son. I was already on IMDb, so I just figured I would look there. Lights Out show. Lights Out. Uh-huh. Jazz. Let's see here. It is an FX show.
Yes.
Hoyt McClaney? Never heard of him.
But his mom was somebody supposedly famous.
His mother, Julie Wilson, was an American singer and actress widely regarded as the queen of the cabaret.
Yeah, see?
All right, he was in Creepshow 2, he's in Rough Riders, he's in Tyson, he's in Law & Order Special Victims, Alpha Dogs, Criminal Minds.
I mean, you've seen him somewhere, that's what I was saying. Like, his face is really familiar every time I see him. I'm like,
he was in Jack Reacher.
Oh, wow.
That first Jack Reacher movie is pretty good. I didn't see the second one. First one's pretty good. Give it up for Stacey Keach, everybody.
Stacey Keach is great in it. Stacey Keach makes the show. Well, he doesn't make it. The main actor makes the show worthwhile because you feel for his character. He's this guy who lost his big fight and his wife convinced him to quit boxing. Now, I know I can tell you this. I'm not sure if they're intending for his wife to have a British accent because she sounds American most of the time, but every now and then her British accent slips out. So if you see her actress name up there, I'm almost gonna, I would put money on the fact that she's British because I can hear it. I'm
like, that's interesting. This guy is in Mindhunter, and I've heard good things about that too, because that was the one show that I said I wanted to watch was Mindhunter, and this guy Holt McCanny is in that show.
So
yeah. And his, let's see here, his wife is, where is
on the show, his wife, because every now and then I hear it slip. I'm like,
Catherine McCormick.
Is she English?
She is English.
See? You can hear it. Like, it's
easier.
I just was like, I'd put money on it because every now and then I hear her say a word and I'm like, that's not, like, she didn't sound very American when she said that. Like, I don't know if that's on purpose or not.
See?
It's weird because they don't address it in the show. They act like, oh, they just, like, she's from New York too. I'm like, get the hell out of here. She's not from New York.
See? Okay, she's, all right. She's just some, okay. She was in Braveheart. She was in Spy Games 28 Weeks Later. All right, she's a Brit. I like the Brits.
Yeah, but the show is really good. Like, it's a drama about him, and he's trying to get back into, at first he's not trying to get back into boxing, but he ends up having to get back into boxing.
That's what happens.
And that's around the fifth episode where they start addressing that. And it's only got like 11 episodes, mm-hmm. is what they said. But I've only got halfway through it. But it was so good, I watched a few episodes back to back because he starts having flashbacks of being in the ring. And
I believe that's what the kids call binge watching, right?
I did binge watch it. Well, I mean, there's something else that's coming out next week that I would binge watch.
Oh, what's it called? It's coming out.
Stranger Things. Yeah. I love that show. It's fantastic.
Okay. Yeah. The show was good. I really liked the first one. I'm excited about the second one.
I really like the first one as well. Yeah. It's one of the crowning jewels, I believe, that Netflix has. Like, I thought Netflix was doing great when they did the Daredevil thing and Marvel stuff. I thought that was a good move for them. But then you like, I don't know, because Iron Fist is one of my favorite characters, and I started trying to watch that. And no offense to, I don't even remember the actor's name that plays Iron Fist, but
yeah, that guy, yeah,
Finn Jones. No offense to him, but I think if they gave him a better script, he would have been all right. No, you don't think so? You're doing the nah face, so you're giving me the gas face on that.
I didn't even finish that show, man. I didn't finish Iron Fist. I didn't even finish it.
I finished it, but it was like I begrudgingly finished it.
I have no interest in it.
Here's my thing, I'm going to say this.
Hang on, before you tell me your thing, he told everybody he met within the first 45 seconds.
I'm the Iron Fist.
I'm the Iron Fist. I'm the defender of
Fin Lung. Yeah.
Yeah.
This place that you don't even know exists.
Yeah. All right, already. So I'm going to shut this fucking guy. I tried.
No, here's the thing. Now, here's what I'm saying, and I think it's scripting. Because if you're going to write a show about Iron Fist, now you tell me what you find more interesting. Him being in New York trying to take control of his company back, which I think is kind of not that great of a storyline. Or him and Kun Lun training to fight a fucking dragon. Let's go with fighting a fucking dragon. You're going to punch a fucking dragon and take its heart out? I'm interested to see. Like, I want to see this.
Yeah, no, I agree.
That's, if you scripted that, like, everybody would have watched. Because you're like, when he finally punches the dragon and gets his heart out, you're going to be like, yeah!
Maybe they didn't have the budget for that. Maybe they couldn't afford a dragon. They just had
Netflix and Marvel. They didn't have the budget for it. It's bullshit.
They didn't have dragon budget. They had budget for
They had dragon budget in the Defenders to make a dragon skeleton. You can't make a CGI dragon for him.
I didn't watch The Defenders. I haven't seen that one yet. I want to go back and watch Daredevil because I haven't watched any of that.
Daredevil is probably the best. I would say Daredevil and Jessica Jones. It's Like, there's things I liked about both of them, things I didn't like about both of them. So
I liked Luke Cage the first.
I love Luke Cage for six episodes.
Yeah, so did I. For six episodes, I love
about Luke. Six episodes, that was my favorite thing. I was like, this is so dope.
Yes.
And then you get to episode six, and
they kill our mans in them.
Yeah, he didn't have a worthy adversary after that. So if we're spoiling that for you, like, we're gonna talk about Luke Cage for 1 second. If you haven't heard it, like, fast forward the podcast 15.
What's his name? Mashur Ali or whatever his name is.
Makashala Ali.
That guy is bar none.
He's
bar none. No. Bar
the
none.
Best thing about the show, right?
No, I'm saying bar none. He is the best. The best Marvel villain in any of their programming.
I don't know.
I'm talking movies. I'm talking all of it. He was
baller. He's right up there with Kingpin and Daredevil, though. You haven't seen D'Onofrio.
I haven't. I love, but I, you know what? I will tell you this.
They're about equal. D'Onofrio is pretty great as Kingpin.
I love it. But I'm talking about the movies. Like,
I thought
this guy was better than some of the movie villains. Like,
oh, definitely.
He was amazing. Just, he's such a great actor. And, like, that laugh.
That thing he did with his face. Like, he'd be like, huh. You know, come at me like that, and then start laughing. It was good.
I loved it. I love that guy. He was, when they killed him, I was like, "Oh, show's over. That's it." Like, seriously, like, I was like, "What are you doing?" Like,
I knew what they were gonna do next because I know the origin story of Luke Cage. So I knew that, like, Diamondback was next. Yeah, I knew that was gonna be the deal.
But I
thought they would have had a better actor.
Yeah, that guy was terrible.
Like, if you were gonna do that, then you should have made him
switch him.
Yeah, and it would have been great because then I would have been, like, totally in for the last half of the show.
Yeah, it was bad.
You can't put that guy, Mahershala Ali, and then throw the other guy behind him because the guy behind him just looked like a chump the entire time.
He was whack.
He looked so chumpy in acting comparison.
He was like a second rate Tyler Perry, son.
I would go lower than that. I would sit the bar. Like, it was like they cast a comedian to play a villain because he tried to say funny things and it would be like just corny. I was like,
it was whack. It was bad.
You can't even follow that dude. Like,
Yeah, it was bad. It was bad. He was like, yeah, I love that guy. And then he won an Oscar, and now he's all great.
Moonlight's a great movie. I don't know if you've seen it. It's on Amazon.
I haven't seen
great.
It.
Great.
I've heard good things.
It was great. I watched it one night after the boy went to bed, and I was like, this is a really great movie. I really enjoyed it.
Mahershala Ali or whatever his name is. My vacation friend, I guess, went to NYU with him. When I was on vacation, my wife and I went on vacation before Sophie was born. We went to lovely St. Lucia. And while we were in lovely St. Lucia, we met a fellow there who is a stage actor. He was a stage actor. He still is a stage actor. He was in Elf the Musical. I don't know if you've ever seen the movie Elf. Well,
I love the movie Elf.
They made a Broadway play of it, and he played Buddy the Elf.
That's awesome.
He was also – did you ever watch Elementary? Do you ever watch Elementary?
Yes. I liked Elementary.
Okay. So do you know the forensic guy?
Is he on all the seasons? Because I've only seen, like, the first couple.
Yeah, he's kind of –
The shorter guy?
Short with curly hair. He looks short
compared to Johnny Lee Miller because that guy's, like, 6'2".
He's short, curly hair, kind of heavy set. He's the forensic dude or whatever on the show.
Yeah.
That's my vacation friend. His name is Jordan Gilbler or whatever. And he was in a movie called Dark Horse, directed by Todd Stolens. Did you know who that is? He did Happiness. He did Welcome to the Dollhouse. Did you see Welcome to the Dollhouse?
Nope.
He's this real super indie dude. But anyway, he was in a movie called Dark Horse. That was really cool. But he's my vacation friend. And they went to NYU together. Because I guess when Mahershala Ali won the Academy... When he won the Academy Award, Jordan posted a picture of him together at a party at NYU, and he's like, "Congratulations, you know, blah blah blah." So that was really neat. And that's my vacation friend. That's what we call. He's a Mets fan too. He's from New York. Him and his wife were on their honeymoon, and they were a very nice couple.
Oh, honeymoons are sweet things.
Well, they were there. That was their honeymoon. This is my wife and I. Is like, we haven't been on vacation since our honeymoon, so let's go on vacation. And then we came back with a baby.
That's what happens when you go on a second honeymoon.
You're knocking boots, baby. So Kevin and I are busy working on various projects with various people. There are things in the works. We we had to get rid of one artist because of time constraints for a project. So we got another artist that we're working with now, which we're very excited about. We'll probably talk about that soon.
Yeah, very soon.
We're still in the process of pitching Full Moon Fredo. We've been posting some stuff on the Word Bros website. If you haven't noticed, go to thewordbros.com. And there's some of our comic work up there. We put the first 5 pages of the Elvis Adventures up there, drawn by
Rachel
Ordway and lettered by Micah Myers. So that stuff is up there now for you to look at. We're working with Nikki So on a project that's coming along pretty well, where Kevin and I are.
It's a lot of fun working with Nikki.
Yeah, Nikki's a good dude. He's got a good sense of humor. I like Nikki a lot.
Nikki's got our sense of humor. That's why you think it's a good one.
No, Nikki doesn't give a fuck. That's why. He just made shit. I love it. I think it's awesome. And then Kevin and I are working on other various things.
We're working on a Kung Fu book.
Yeah.
With Ricardo... I'm blanking on
Lima?
Is
it Lima?
Lima, it is. Ricardo Lima. Yeah. I blanked on his last name, and I known the guy for like almost a year now.
I'm a great guy. What a good friend I am.
You are a great guy.
Yeah, I like Ricardo.
He's a great guy too, but he's been producing pages, and it looks really cool.
Yeah, like, I'm excited.
Every time we get pages, it looks really cool. So it's probably the shortest thing we've ever written together. Bob and I have written together because we want to go for a more action oriented feel, a quick comic, because most of our stuff that we've been trying to do has been more character oriented recently,
more talky.
We said let's just, like, the thing Bobby said when we started that was, let's just get in and get out on this one, like, yeah. Just do it fast, like Marvel type of book where it's a lot of action. So that's what we did.
It's a kung fu book. I mean, you need your action. If you're doing a kung fu book, you need action. I mean, there'll be story as we move along, but like the first issue is kind of a lot of action because you're setting the tone, man.
Yeah, there's a lot of action, and it's got a female lead named Yelora, and apparently Yelora is a badass.
She's got an eye patch, bro.
She's got an eye patch, and the beginning story is like basically. There's a hint of there where the eye patch comes from. So you have to read more to find out why the eye patch is there.
Yeah, I'm really excited about it. So.
It looks great. His character drawings are great. We started an idea there that came out to be really good that we were talking about. Like Bobby's like, we need some anthropomorphic animal son because that's his thing. And then I said, why don't we just model him after the Chinese zodiac but make up our own thing? Because the book has sort of an Asian flavor to it. So when we talked to Ricardo about it, we were like, think Mongolia mixed with Japan, mixed with China all together. Although we know those cultures are separate, we're not those white dudes that don't know that. We just wanted to have a fantasy world where like Mongolian barbarians are inhabiting the same space as Kung Fu warriors and ninjas, which – geographically they're all different in our world, so
yeah,
fantasy world, you can throw all that together and get a more Asian flavor to the book without it being ridiculous. So,
and I like the idea too of it being kind of like a Telos kind of vibe. Where Telos, if you haven't read Telos, it's Mike Rowingo and
Todd DeZago
is an amazing guy. What a nice fellow. We met him at Tidewater Comic Con. Such a cool dude. But they had this kind of cool fantasy book that, you know, it's just filled with like fucking airships and anthropomorphic animals and all kinds of animals. Just,
pirates.
Yeah, it's just got this really cool vibe to it. I was like, I would love to do like a kung fu version of that, like almost like an Oriental Adventure D&D version of something like that, you know? Like, and just kind of run with it and see what
happens. That's when we started just throwing ideas back and forth. Yeah. That one day we came up with what we came up with. And then he's like, let's do it again and get out, because we've been taking like lots of character study stuff with, and this is after, like, you guys will hopefully see these other couple books we've done, maybe possibly next year.
Yeah.
But they're more character oriented work. So we just wanted to do something that's less character oriented, more action and just fun. Which I think is what tends to be how we do things, because Bobby just got finished with Monty and I just got finished with Oathbound, and we got together to write Elvis, and that's just fun. And it wrote itself. It was very fast.
Yeah, I agree.
It was like, I think we had the whole script done within 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Which is for what Elvis is 24 pages. So that's really quick. There's a lot of passing back and forth on Google Docs, and we were done with it that quick. And then we just went over the gags one more time to make sure everything was funny. So.
And it happened to be funny, so that's cool.
Yeah, it worked out. And, yeah. And you can read the first five pages of that for free.
Yes, the Elvis Adventures are for free on...
Wordbros.com.
Wordbros.com.
So, well, do you want to close this one out, or do you want to talk more?
I think we're good, man. I mean, that's a nice place to end. I'm going to go upstairs and maybe go to bed, maybe dick around. I'm not really sure yet. I got to update my fourth edition character for we leveled up, so I got to fix that. I got some stuff. I just being lazy, man. I might just go watch. I might just eat cereal and watch John Oliver.
Yeah. John Oliver, a wonderful human being.
Yes, I love he, and all of his clips are on YouTube. So you can just go on YouTube and watch all of his little clips that he does at the end of his show, his investigative reporting. He's very funny, but he's got a great staff over there too. They do really great work. So, you know, it's if you want to take your news with a little spoonful of sugar, because the world's kind of fucked, and then you can get at least a nice laugh from a charming British fellow.
I mean, the things he said about Trump I found really funny.
Oh, dude, the stuff he says about everything is great.
He's like, your name was Drumpf, and like that whole thing. I was,
yeah.
He killed it. Like, I was like, he just crushed him.
Yeah, it was really wonderful.
It was good.
So I think this is a nice place to end. We got some good guests coming up in a couple weeks. Kyle Starks is going to come on the pod, so that'll be fun.
Starks from Rock Candy Mountain.
Yes.
And also Rick and Morty.
Rick and Morty, yes. So we're going to talk to Kyle, so that'll be fun.
We got David Buher, who writes for Vault Comics, and he co-writes Alien Bounty Hunter, so we could talk to him about co-writing. And also, he writes the comic book for Vault called Powerless, which all five issues are out now. You can get that at your LCS. He's going to be coming on. We have a couple more people, don't we? You have somebody next week planned that's doing a Kickstarter. Don.
Yeah, my man Don. Don Card, I can't pronounce his last name because I suck at that kind of stuff.
Just, you can spell it to me and I'll pronounce it for you.
Let me find
it. I think this is the main reason people listen, is to hear you mispronounce people's last names.
Yeah.
I'm kidding.
If you tell me your last name, I'm good, baby. But
yeah, because then you won't get it wrong.
Don, C-A-R-D-E-N-A-S. Don
Cardenas.
Don Cardenas.
Does that sound right?
Yeah, that sounds about right. We're going to have Don Cardenas on. Don's a really good dude. I've known Don maybe 4 years. Don's a really good dude. He's got a really good book.
What's his book called?
The Packs of Low County.
Well, that's a cool name.
Yeah. So we're going to talk to
Don. Is it a werewolf book?
I believe so. Yeah, I think it's like a post-apocalyptic werewolf thing. We'll find out.
That's really killer. Yeah,
we'll find out more about that next week when we talk to Don. But yeah, so good. So we got some good shows coming up. So it'll be
cool. Before we close, what have you been reading
right now? Man, I've been reading. Hang on. I gotta let my dog out.
All right.
Hang on, Moo Moo. I've been reading a Michael Moorcock novel. I've been reading Elric. Yeah,
with the sword. I can't remember his sword's name.
The Stormbringer.
I was going to say Doombringer, yeah. But it's not.
Yeah,
I read that one. I was reading.
What is that book? The one I'm reading is called... I can't remember.
I know which one you're talking about, though. It's got him with the sword hold over his head, right?
Yeah, I mean, all of the books kind of have the cover, but I'm trying to remember the name of the book that I'm reading.
The art for those is fantastic.
Yes, the art for that is fucking fantastic. What is it? It's not the Stormbringer. What's the name of the book? Now it's pissing me off. I could go upstairs and go get it, but that would just take way too long. I forget, but I'm reading an Elric book and I'm really digging it. Like, it makes me just want to do
chaotic evil character.
No. It just makes me want to do like short story kind of anthology style, like high fantasy stuff.
The only thing I never liked about the Elric character, he always feels kind of evil to me.
He is. He's totally like, he has this terrible relationship with this sword because he's an albino and he doesn't have any power and he's this kind of weak and frail. But the Stormbringer gives him power because it needs blood. So he has to kill. He has to go out and murder things. He has to fight. He must do it.
It's been a while since I read it. So
yeah. And like, he's always, calling to, what is it? R A A-R-I-O-C-H.
Arahok?
Yeah, he's always the Lord of Chaos and a Duke from Hell. Like, so the, yes, he's got a pack with that guy. Did I lose you, Kevin?
What?
I thought I lost you, but yeah, it's really great stuff, man. I'm really digging it. It's
been a while. I read that in my teens. It was weird because I was reading Conan stuff at the same time, and Conan seemed to resonate more with me as a character.
Oh, no, the Conan stuff is cool, but the Conan stuff isn't as...
It's not as dark.
The Conan stuff is more cut and dry. Like, Conan is doing what he's doing because he's Conan, and he's very...
Conan's very mercenary, but I'd say he's very, like, he's got his own code.
Yeah, he's got his own kind of, like, honor code.
He's not evil, like, though. So, like, he just doesn't, like, you don't get killed by Conan because you were just sitting there. Like,
yeah.
You
have something he wants.
Even then, he doesn't always kill the people when you have something he wants. He's not, but he does come off as a bully sometimes when people write him. So it's really weird. Like, Conan's a weird character.
Yeah, like, but I like it. The book that I'm reading is called The Stealer of Souls.
Oh, that's awesome, Sam. That's a great name for a book.
It's pretty badass so far. I've been pretty stoked about it.
I have been reading that I got from the library because I was going to buy the trade, but I was like, I already have the single issues. I just don't feel like busting them out because I'm lazy and they're bagged and boarded. So I have gotten Matt Rosenberg's Kingpin from the library.
Ah, nice. I like that book a lot.
Because, I mean, as well you should. Matt Rosenberg's pretty awesome.
Yeah, so he's great.
I have nothing bad to say about anything I've ever read that he's done. It's always awesome. I'm always like, oh, I'm into this. I like the way he set this up. I like the conversations. Like, there's not anything about it. The art always is really good. And then I also got Greg Rucka's The Old Guard.
Oh, that's cool.
I started that, and then I haven't finished it. And then I've also been reading Hickman's Black Murder Monday. Book.
Okay, Black Monday Murders.
That's what it's
called. I've heard good things about that.
It's really good so far. The thing is like it's like monstrous. Like, have you ever read the book Monstrous?
No.
Okay. That's probably what I'm gonna get you if they have a $5 trade place at this con. Because every time I go to cons, I look for the $5 trade place. But it's Marjorie Liu. And if you look it up, like
I like her work a lot.
Dude, it's great. It's a slow burn at first though. So like Robert was talking in the chat one day about it, and he said that he had a hard time getting past the, and I can see what he's saying, but he's not a fantasy fan and you and I are.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the world setup that's taking her time in the book. Mm-hmm. So I get why it's slow. So for me, it wasn't bad because it's things you want to know. The only gripe I had about it was you could have put that off later in favor of story at first, and I would have still been in, and it wouldn't have been so hard to get through. Because my thing with graphic novels is if I stop and put it down, it's not bad, but there's a chance I might pick a different one up.
Okay.
So with a graphic novel, I'll bookmark it and I'll come back to it. And I'll come back to it within a few days usually. So I won't have to reread it. But if I put it down, that just means it's, like, I've had to deal with a couple of Hickman things too, because it's so dense. Like,
yes,
it's so dense that like it takes you a minute to absorb it all and get it in your head what he's trying to do, what he's going for. It's very plot oriented, and that's fine. The thing is, for me, for those reads, you have to be kind of in the mood for those.
Yeah,
does that make sense?
Now I hear what you're saying.
Yeah, because like if you're doing a character oriented read and you're into the characters of the book, like. Robert let me borrow these Conan books that he had that were awesome, and it was Kurt Busiek and Kerry Nord in the first three or four trades that he let me – I think they did five together, five trades of Conan. Like, I didn't put them down.
Yeah.
Like, I just was, like – I was wailing away at those things. They were great. Like, it was like I was powering through them because like almost I'll put it to you this way. They only had one and this is credit to Busiek. They only had one story in there that was kind of slower paced, and I felt like it was only that way because it was meant to connect that first arc to the second one, because you could tell they didn't know how long they were going to be on the book.
Okay.
So he did the whole first arc, and you think that that's the end of that story, it's just kind of like a comma. It becomes, instead of a period, it's kind of a period, but then they turn it into a comma. So okay. The next story transitioning into the second trade is a good transitory piece to get you into the next part of the trades that they're going to put out in the future. So it would be like the first issue of the second arc is just meant to transition the story.
Okay.
Worked really well.
Okay. I like Busick anyway. I think he's a great writer, so I'm sure. And it's Conan, so I'm sure I dig it.
The first Busick thing I've ever read, because yeah. Robert's always touting Astro City at me, and I was like, I've never read it.
Yeah.
Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah.
You read that? It's great.
So.
It's great.
Well, good. I'm glad you're enjoying yourself. And it's always fun. And, you know, with something like that, it's also kind of cool, too, because I don't want to say it's cherry picking, but it's a character that you're already familiar with. So it's easy to go like, oh, I'll read Conan. Like I'll read a Conan book.
Yeah. It's like how the first few Hellboy stories I ever read before I read the bigger versions of those were kind of, they reminded me of like Conan because they were just four or five shorts, and Hellboy in Mexico is all shorts. And I love that stuff too. So if the Word Bros do a bunch of shorts soon, don't be surprised. A bunch of shorts. we're both being influenced by things that are shorts.
Yeah.
So.
Well, cool, buddy. Cool. Well, good chat. Hey, good chat, buddy.
Good talking to you, man.
See, we don't need guests. Pshaw. Guests. I mean, guests are nice. If we.
It's nice to talk to other people about making comics.
Yeah, but it's nice to talk to, you know what, buddy? It's nice to talk to you. Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
I stole your line. I'm sorry,
man. It's cool, man. So, yeah, so thank you for listening, and the Word Bros will be back next week.
And you can follow us at Word Bros on
Twitter. Word_bros. Go to thewordbros.com. You can check out some of our work that's there, and just wonderful things happening for the Word Bros. The Bros of Wood.
And also, if you are listening to us on iTunes, please go and leave a review.
Yeah.
Helps us show up.
Yeah.
And your comics related searches for podcasts for people to listen to.
Yeah.
So again, as we said at the beginning of the show, thank you for listening and have a pleasant day.
A pleasant day, if you will. Pleasant
day. You're listening to the Word Bros podcast, thewordbros.com.